are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. We've got a stacked deck on the program this evening. Dave Malinsky will join us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Tony Cincata joins us from Jacksonville, Florida. Mike Cardano joins us from New York, New York. Full house. All Super Bowl 52, although we will talk a little NBA with the Professor Dave Malinsky, but don't worry, I do have some NBA picks for you. So I think I got some good NBA picks for you tonight as well. But countdown is on right now, Super Bowl 52, so let's get right down to business as the props are starting to trickle in a little bit right now. Now, for the record, let's get something out of the way. Earlier in the day today, the New England Patriots announced what jersey they're going to wear. They are the designated home team in this football game. Alternates every year, obviously, AFC, NFC. AFC are the home team this year. Patriots have chosen their white jerseys. They've chosen to wear white. Tom Brady is 3-0. That's why they're wearing white. Tom Brady is 3-0 in Super Bowls wearing white. The Patriots are 3-1 overall. If you're wondering, well, when do they wear white and lose? They lost to the Green Bay Packers. Remember when Desmond Howard returned a couple of kicks for touchdowns, 35-21. The game was a push, 14-point point spread. Bill Parcells, Drew Bledsoe, etc. Patriots, so they're 3-1 in white, and they're 2-2 in others because they've worn blue and lost, and they wore red that time. They got blasted by the Bears in the 80s. So I just want to get that out of the way. And for the record, if you're wondering, what does it matter? Well, the team that's worn white has won 12 of the last 13 Super Bowls, including the last four as well. 12-1, last 13. So forget about all the yards per play and forget about all the handicappers and all the fantasy analysts and all their defense and usage and PPR and yeah, screw it all. Take the Patriots. They're wearing white. It's 12-1. What more do you need to know? Thank you. Come again. All right, what else do we have of relevance here? MVP props. All right, MVP props have been released. Tom Brady is the favorite to win the most valuable player. Tom Brady has won four Super Bowl most valuable player awards, tying him with Joe Montana. You know, Joe Montana was 4-0 in Super Bowls, though. Tying him with Joe Montana, you think that Tom Brady cares about being the only guy with five Super Bowl MVPs? Hell yeah, he does. So he's minus 150. The only time the Patriots won a Super Bowl and Tom Brady was not the MVP was Deion Branch. Deion Branch was the MVP in one of the Super Bowls, going back a ways. All right, quarterbacks have won 28 of 51 overall MVPs, including 8 of the last 11. But if the Eagles win, it's not a lock to Nick Foles. Nick Foles is plus 600, 6-1 to be the MVP. Not a lock that Nick Foles would be the MVP if they won, but I think there's some value there. A prop that I will be betting, and we're gonna be sharing a ton of tidbits and info with you over the next week and a half or so. Will there be more points in the first half or the second half? Tom Brady has played in 7 Super Bowls, right? This is going to be his 8th. In 7 Super Bowls, there have been more points scored in the second half in 5 of 7 Super Bowls with Brady. Once there was more points in the first. The other time was actually a push against the Giants. They scored 19-19. So props that I will be playing. I will play Tom Brady to win a Super Bowl MVP, even though I'll be on the New England Patriots opponent and the Philadelphia Eagles on a teaser. But you can't pass this up. Why play the Patriots minus 230 on the money line? If Brady, I think the Patriots are probably going to win the game, but the Eagles could cover the point spread. But we haven't locked in anything yet besides the fact that we will play more points in the second half than first. And you got to play Tom Brady and Nick Foles to win the MVPs. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We've got a full house on the program today. Mike Cardano, Tony Cincata, Dave Malinsky. So without further ado, let's send it straight to the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Dave Malinsky joins us. You can read his daily column on the front page of sportsbookreview.com. It's called Vegas Point Blank. You can't miss it. It's right there on the front page, and it'll make you a hell of a lot smarter than you already are. Professor, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
You know, Gabe, we're only 2 days into the Patriots-Eagles matchup, and I hate to say this, I'm getting fed up already. It's round the clock here in Vegas. It's 24-7 of all the various components. And, yeah, I've been here almost, 30 Super Bowls. I think that's enough.
And you know, Dave,
I need to get out of town.
There's a sheer frustration level, I think, in a lot of places with this Super Bowl. And it's funny, I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on in the show with one of our guests who's a Jet fan and a lifelong New Yorker. And it's funny because I already had this sort of narrative and take that I was going to talk about today. Like, me as a Bills fan, I'm just sickened by it, Dave. I'm sick of the Patriots. I'm sick of watching him in the Super Bowl. I'm sick of Tom Brady. I'm sick of Belichick. I'm sick of it all. You know, if you're a Giant fan, you don't like this. Like, basically, like, the city of New York is sickened by this. They want to vomit, Dave, right? It's like they hate Boston. You know, they hate the Philadelphia Eagles. You got both these teams are in. Then think about the people of Minneapolis, Dave, and St. Paul. It's always rough when your team makes it to a conference championship game and you lose, or you lose at a Super Bowl. You know, the city's kind of depressed for a couple of days after the fact until the next sports season starts or the new team starts their season. In Minneapolis, Dave, they can't escape this. If you're a Vikings fan and you don't make it to the Super Bowl, okay, fine. You didn't make the playoffs. You got bounced in a wild card round, whatever. You made it to the conference championship game and lost to the team whose fans threw beer bottles at you, mocked you, and now are coming to your city. And for the next 2 weeks, they can't ignore this. And then you throw in the fact, Dave, with the security, the closed roads, the police state that they're going to be living in Minneapolis for the next 2 weeks, snipers on the roof of every corner, etc. They're going to rue the fact the Super Bowl's in Minneapolis, Dave.
I wonder, I mean, outside of the stadium itself, though, I wonder how this is going to flow for the NFL. Because, again, most guys, when they go to the Super Bowl, want to be able to take their golf clubs on the plane. And the idea is, oh, wow, let's go hang out in Minneapolis for a week. That gets to be a little bit awkward. Of course, what makes it great about Vegas, this is the best place to be for the Super Bowl. Nobody throws big parties better. And here's the thing, Gabe, for all my complaining about what we have to go through here for the next 2 weeks, I will get dozens, almost 100 invitations. So many people come into town. Hey, would love to take you to dinner. And my question back to every one of them, where are you going? So that the last two or three nights before the Super Bowl, I could just pick out the best place, you know, and eat for free for several days at a very high level. Probably shouldn't put
that
out
the whole meal. The whole meal, though, yep. They're going to be badgering you for props and picks, though, for the game. You're getting set up, Dave.
Well, here's the thing. If someone is going to take my opinion on those, they get what they deserve.
That's a good point. That's a good point. In fact, Dave, last time you and I went out for a meal before the Super Bowl, I was on the losing side with Carolina and Denver.
I can remember that well. But you know what was great? Where we went, it was that nice calm before the storm. And it is wild as the strip can be on Super Bowl Sunday. You get a few miles off the strip, you can throw a bowling ball down just about any street
or
not hit anything.
Or shoot somebody and not have anyone know. I think the parking lot we went to, I think it was a little bit of both, actually. All right, so a little bit of line movement, Dave. You and I spoke last night on Monday evening, and it was an even five. Some 5.5s have popped up right now. At least offshore, 5.5 is a new predominant number.
About right. I think books will be very hesitant to push to 6 because they know what's going to happen. Anytime they go, 6 will get taken immediately. 5 and 5.5 can ping pong from now till kickoff, and the books will be pretty happy with it. Most of the shop stewards I talk to are pretty happy with the balance so far, so they don't think they're going to get overloaded too much one way or the other. The handle, though, looks to be pretty exorbitant. One, it helps to have the Patriots in there. But you know what happened on Sunday, Gabe, is any doubts that the smaller bettors had about Nick Foles, those got erased for the small guys because they saw him play so well that he's not the huge question mark anymore. Now, we're not going to see the Foles in the Super Bowl that we saw against the Vikings. That guy will likely never be repeated. That was such a clean performance. But at least bettors aren't skittish. If Philadelphia had won 17-6, and Foles went 10 out of 25 passing,
yeah,
it would have greatly impacted the Super Bowl handle because there would have been confusion. That confusion is gone.
You know, Dave, and, you know, the fact is as well, Foles didn't look great You know, he didn't look great against the Atlanta Falcons. You're right. And I think that's why there was still some trepidation, you know, including myself, going into the Viking game. That will be the narrative. Came across an interesting stat. And as you stated, Dave, so this is just day two of, you know, many, 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 many shows to come for us leading up to the Super Bowl. We'll see, you know, we'll see how far I can go before I start running out of stuff, Dave. But I've come across an interesting one here. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, Dave, are 22-1 in the playoffs when they score 21 or more points. You know, can the Philadelphia Eagles hold them to 21 or less? It almost seems like they're going to have to. But you mentioned it. So you have Nick Foles. See, I thought the number would go up a little bit. As the game approaches, I think the public will start to jump on board and look at the Nick Foles-Tom Brady narrative and just say to themselves, Nick Foles isn't beating Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. So let's look at the MVP odds. Some of the props are starting to trickle in offshore right now, guys. And, you know, reputable books as well. Tom Brady, minus 150 over at Bet Online. Tom Brady, minus 150 to win the MVP, Dave. He's won four Super Bowl MVPs, which is tied with Joe Montana. So he would surpass Joe Montana, which I'm sure would be a nice feather in the cap that Brady would like to have. He would surpass Joe Montana with most Super Bowl MVPs of all time with five. We should note quarterbacks have won the MVP 8 of the last 11 Super Bowls, as well as 28 of 51 overall, day for a 54% clip.
Well, let's throw this out there. If someone was thinking about betting New England on the money line, why not lay Brady minus the 150 instead, in that if New England wins, there is a very high correlation that Brady is the MVP. So you can actually shave some vig. But it's possible Brady could be the MVP in a loss. It's one of those rare times where he could still be the MVP if they lose. Nick Foles will not be the MVP.
Only happened once, Dave. For the record, you can't catch me. I'm ready to go. It's earlier in the week. It's like a fight. It's round two. 1971, Dave, only time a losing player won. Chuck Howley. Chuck Howley, Dallas Cowboys, 1971.
And if you're like me and you're
old
enough,
no computers, no notes. You see that? I didn't even look at anything there.
Yeah, for those of us old enough to remember that game, it was such a sluggish affair that they pretty much had it.
It's like Von Miller. Because people are saying, oh, well, Moretti, 2 years ago. Because I'm like, quarterbacks always win. They're like, 2 years ago, it was Von Miller. I'm like, because nothing happened in the game, right? If nothing happens in the game, you get two sacks, you win the MVP. That's how that works. Something's going to happen in this game. The one time Tom Brady wasn't the MVP, Dave, and off the top of my head, I couldn't really recall, Deion Branch. Deion Branch was the MVP of one of the Super Bowls.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to see anybody else, because here's the issue with the skill positions. Patriots and Eagles have a lot of depth.
Yep.
So there isn't any one particular guy, especially the running backs. I don't know if any running back is going to get 15 carries because the distribution will be so wide. So it's so hard to see anybody else really in that mix. And when the total's at 48, it gets harder and harder to project a defensive player being that key guy. So if you like the Patriots, laying Brady minus 150 is actually not a bad bet to make instead of the usual New England money line.
Now, how about Nick Foles? If you think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win, why take the plus 190, plus 200? You can get Nick Foles plus 600. But there is a higher possibility, isn't there, Dave, that the Eagles could win the Super Bowl and Nick Foles would not be the MVP, right? I mean,
yeah, we talked about there might not be any one running back for Philly getting more than 15 carries, but collectively, you could see Philadelphia run the ball an awful lot.
Let's say LeGarrette Blount smashes in for two touchdowns, Dave. He's got 68 yards and two touchdowns. The Eagles win a smash-mouth Super Bowl. LeGarrette Blount's the MVP.
That could flow that way. You know, it really could. So, Brady, if you like New England, yes. If you like the Patriots, not quite. I mean, like the Eagles, not quite as much correlation to Foles, but still a better value to take Foles to win the MVP than the Eagles on the money line. It, you know, even with the adjustments for other players being in the mix, it's still a better value.
What are some of the props? And I don't mean specific props for this game, obviously, because, you know, they're not out yet for the most part, but what are some of your go-to props that you like to look at, Dave? I looked at the first half, second half, and I'm going to do more research as far as Super Bowls as a whole. But I was up all night after we spoke last night, and I already knew it, but I wanted to double and triple check it just to get my numbers right. But Tom Brady, 7 Super Bowls, 5-1-1, Dave. So 5 times more points scored in the second half than the first. One push, incidentally, against the Giants. They scored 19 in the first and 19 in the second. And one time, the game against the Seahawks, ironically. They only scored 24 in the first. They scored more in the first than the second. You know, that's an interesting one. More points in the second half than the first one. So 5 out of 7, that's hit. What are a couple of props that you're waiting to look and see? And like, all right, I want to see what the number is for this prop.
I think one of the things I expect to see is a pretty clean game. So one of the props that gets out there a lot, and we will look for it if it's going to be an aggressive game, is will there be a special teams or defensive touchdown? New England plays such clean games. I mean, over the last decade, they've turned the ball over less than anybody in the NFL. So they don't give away cheap scores. They don't give away special team scores. But also, I love the way Frank Reich dials up the Philadelphia offense. They put themselves in good positions to make plays without giving anything away. I think this is the one time there won't be a special teams or defensive touchdown because of the way I see this one unfolding.
Dave Malinsky with us. You can read his column, sportsbookreview.com, Vegas Point Blank. It's right there on the front page, and he'll have a ton of analysis and thoughts, especially once the props come out officially later in the week. But I'm going to have some fun with these MVP props. There's a couple of players, like I said, I think LeGarrette Blount, just on the outside chance, smash mouth game. You know, he gets a couple of touchdowns, and he runs the ball down to the Patriot throat, which is a possibility of happening. Because Jay Ajayi is a good player, and he'll make plays, but he's not really a touchdown scorer. And the media likes touchdown scorers, right? You put points up on the board. Maybe Alshon Jeffrey scored 2 touchdowns last week. You know, it's interesting, Dave. LeGarrette Blount's actually 20-1 to score 2 or more touchdowns. I wouldn't mind bigger odds, but nevertheless, it wouldn't shock me, actually, if they pounded the rock to him. But we'll speak to Dave again next Tuesday and get his final thoughts on Super Bowl 52. We got about 4 minutes, 3-4 minutes now, Dave. Couple NBA games I want to get your thoughts on. You wrote about the Boston Celtics over in your column, but let's start off quickly. We'll just go a minute a game here, per se. Cavs and Spurs. I mean, really, Dave? Cavs favorite on the road here?
No matter how bad things are with the Spurs in terms of getting their rotation together, how can you not bet Greg Popovich with any given group of 5 professional players at the opening tip-off against Tyronn Lue? I don't know if this Cleveland situation is fixable. It is extremely volatile. I ran a quote from, Dwayne Wade in Point Blank today, and I shared it with you last night. Dwayne Wade is saying, we're a selfish team. We're an old team. We're not good one-on-one defenders. We got problems. I think San Antonio will outwork Cleveland. Again, if Cleveland could just snap their fingers and fix this, it wouldn't have gone this bad in the first place. So as Pop's taking points when he can control the tempo against a relatively brain dead team, that gets me to the window.
Total feels a little low to me too at 208. Celtics and Lakers, interesting take by you, Dave. That Boston, so much emphasis on defense. Now the points, they're not scoring enough right now. They're laying 5 against a Laker team that's kind of streaky, but competitive. They've been competitive on their home floor as of late, laying 5 in this basketball game. Total 208.5 there.
Yeah, I think there's been this good bad with Boston. The good is that wonderful athleticism from Brown and Tatum that's helping to make them the best defensive team in the NBA. And the defense has just gotten better and better. As the season progresses, though, the offense is getting worse because both of those guys are so much better on the defensive end at this stage than on offense. And what you can have, Gabe, in fact, what most teams want, you actually want one guy who's a real good defender who maybe isn't so much on offense, because sometimes it helps to have a guy that doesn't want the ball, sort of like an Andre Roberson for Oklahoma City.
Bruce Bowen, talking about the Spurs. That was his gig, remember?
That's a good way to look at it. The problem is now Cleveland's got 2 guys. And so what defenses are doing is they're starting to back off of Brown and Tatum, not fearing them to beat them. In the month of January, the Boston offense rates right near the bottom of the entire NBA. That's something they're going to have to go out and fix. What Boston really does need to, they need one more scorer off the bench. So look for them to possibly be active. Now that they see how close they are to winning the East this year, they need to go get one more guy that can come off the bench, play about 20 minutes, and get them 15 points.
The team that's going to win the East, Dave, is practicing about 5 minutes away from us. The Toronto Raptors, we the North. we actually are very close to their practice facility. I can't wait for the NBA playoffs. And speaking of which, we got to get out of here, Dave, but one thing I've noticed, you notice the NBA, it's been surly the last week and a half or so. Fights, trash talk, and the playoffs are really going to be off the hook. And I get the feeling I saw yesterday with Durant, with Houston, saying, you know what? You know, people in Houston are saying, you know, we can beat Golden State. And, you know, Kevin Durant's like, you know, just shut up. And he's like Clint Capella. You know, all you do is dunk the ball and you think you're a player. It's funny, like, I can sense it. I watch a lot of Golden State. I follow them closely, Dave. You can tell they're just getting sort of bored now and angry. You can tell they're looking at their watches. When do the playoffs start? When do the playoffs start? They've got some things to fine-tune, though, before the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, the one issue that Golden State does have is in order to keep that core together, a couple years ago they had the best bench in the NBA. Now that bench is pretty short.
Yep.
So they don't have the options. I mean, the guy they continue to miss when he's not there, Andre Iguodala, has been so underappreciated, you know, through all they've been through. He hasn't been the fool. Their key, though, get him healthy for the playoffs.
That's just a health issue with them. Exactly. You know, we got to get out of here, Dave, but it's funny you say that. You're right. Watching the Warriors, you know, last year and in past years, when their bench was in the game, they would increase the lead. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be just devastating. Now it's actually visible. You're like, ooh, you better get your starters back on the court here, Kerr, because there's a big drop-off. All right, we got to get out of here. Read Dave's column, and you'll get a lot smarter. Vegas point blank. Thanks for the time, Dave.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
Dave Malinsky. I will just take a quick break. Tony Cincata joins us next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's continue our Super Bowl 52 conversations. Let's bring in a New England Patriot fan. God. New England Patriot fan. And you know what's funny? The Tony Cincata joins us. You know, I was just talking with Dave Malinsky in Las Vegas about the Super Bowl. And I said, you know, this is actually a Super Bowl that is upsetting a lot of people, Tony.
Yes.
Like, you know, like the city of New York, no one's happy in New York. Like, they hate, you know, like, Giant fans aren't happy. Giant fans aren't happy. They hate the Eagles. They hate Philadelphia. Jet fans hate the Patriots. I'm a Bills fan. I hate this. I'm sickened by this. You know, you go down the list. People in Minneapolis now have to deal with Eagle fans in their backyard for the next week and a half. The same dudes that were, like, spitting on them and throwing beer bottles at them. They got to, like, relive the Vikings choking for the next 2 weeks. They can't just say, oh, football season's over. There's a lot of anger and frustration. And the fact is, you know, America generally hates Boston and Boston sports teams. And Philadelphia is not exactly an easy city to root for either, Tony.
Well, I think the whole thing with Boston is because they've been winning so much lately, right? So the Patriots are the greatest thing for the NFL because you get the villain, right? But nobody wants to root for the Eagles. Those people are the worst people in the world. So it is possibly the worst matchup of all time from a rooting interest.
It really is, man. It's funny. Like, the people... I saw a great tweet, Tony. Somebody said, the only force powerful enough in the universe to make me cheer for the Patriots. And it was a picture of Eagle fans.
You know what was crazy is that you saw those Eagles fans. Like, it is crazy. Like, you've drank before, and we've all been, drank a little too much every once in a while. I've never been with professional drinkers like Eagles fans were the other day that threw actual full cans of beer away, whether it was at an opponent or not. So these guys aren't very smart, these Philadelphia Eagles fans.
I like the shot. Sunday night, Philadelphia, the city's on fire. downtown Boston Sunday night. No one on the street. Streets are empty. Quiet Sunday night. It's like, what are you celebrating? Everyone needs to. That's a good way of putting it, actually. The Eagle fans are like, they're like frat boys. Huh? They're like, they never drank before. It's like the parents are gone. Let's have a house party, and everyone's puking on the sidewalk after.
I actually watched a video of a guy proud that his section didn't discriminate, that they actually threw a woman out of their section. Like, the guy was proud. He's on video. His parents could have seen this video. He said, you know, we don't discriminate. Even women get tossed out of our section.
Yeah, there was one guy, the guy with blood all over his face. he was funny. I actually watched the video of him, and he was pleading with his buddy. It was really funny. He's like, stop filming this. Everyone's going to see this. Stop, stop. He's all covered in blood. Yeah, it didn't work, buddy. He goes, yeah, everyone saw it. Everyone saw it. All right, so let's bask in Tom Brady and the Patriots' greatness here. Tom Brady, 8th Super Bowl. Now, with his start on Sunday, he'll have started in 15% of all Super Bowls.
That's amazing. I saw that stat. I'm like, that's amazing. When you think about all the Super Bowls we've watched since we were kids, all the way growing up, and all these different great players that were there, to think that Tom Brady's actually been in 15% of the Super Bowls now is insane. I'm like you. I grew up when the Patriots were terrible, and to think that we could be in this situation here with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick doing what they do, and think back that these two guys are still on the team from when we played Terrell Owens back against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Absolutely crazy. It really is. And as far as Bill Belichick, to put it in perspective, this is his 8th Super Bowl as a head coach. Don Shula, the great Don Shula, only coached 6 as a head coach. You know what's amazing, too? How about this one? And for the record, Bill Belichick, this is his 11th Super Bowl as a whole, Tony. So 8 as head coach, 3 as an assistant. He's got 5 rings already. He won once with the Giants. This is what's crazy. Bill Belichick would join Chuck Knoll and Vince Lombardi as the only Super Bowl, the only coaches in NFL history to win Super Bowls back-to-back twice. Sorry, yeah. I wanted to build the pause. Well, someone else won back-to-back twice. Think about that, back-to-back twice in their careers.
You know, the thing is, Bill Belichick's a historian. His dad was a football coach, and, of course, he was at one of the military academies coaching for a long time, and that's where Bill Belichick started getting into football. And this is a great, great thing because you know he knows his scope and where he's trying to finish in the history of football. He's got his kids coaching with him now, and that's the whole thing. He's going to stick around until he gets his kids in a situation where they can start moving up in the National Football League. So it's gone from father to son, now down to his children.
I tweeted out a picture yesterday of Tom Brady in a Montreal Expos uniform, and people were like, what the hell's this? Like, are you kidding me? What's this? And I was genuinely surprised. I was like, well, you guys didn't really? He was drafted by the Expos? But, yeah, so Tom Brady was drafted by the Expos, 508th overall. And, you know, in baseball, that's not a throwaway pick, Tony. You know, 500th in baseball. So, you know, I did a little bit more digging. He never played any minor league baseball. And he never even played baseball at Michigan. This is solely from his high school days. Yet, he happened to go to the same high school and play for the same baseball team as this guy. What's his name? Oh, yeah, Barry Bonds.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, Barry Bonds. Yeah, same. They weren't on the same team. But, yeah, same program, same school. You know who else went to the same school? Lynn Swann. Badassness is coming out of there. San Mateo. So I did some digging. I'm an Expo fan, right? I knew about Brady, and I'd seen Brady and the Expo stuff before. So I read about Kevin Malone, who was the general manager at the time. And he said, I saw a quote, and he did an interview last year about Brady, actually. And he said, we thought that he could be one of the best catchers ever, and that he would be one of the best catchers in the league. Said left-handed hitter, could call a great game. We could tell he was a great leader and understood he just got it. They said he was a pure major leaguer. Like, Kevin Malone was like, yeah, we love this guy. We thought he was a pure. We would have taken him higher, but we knew that he liked football. But this is what's funny, Malone said. He goes, but we thought he would play baseball since his NFL scouting reports were so bad. So, like, his his baseball reports were like check mark, check mark, check mark. Just needs to play a bit. Hasn't played since high school, but has all the tools. And we know about the football. Weak arm, skinny, not athletic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we were talking about before the show, the transformation in the body of Tom Brady from head to toe.
Yeah, the entire body, yeah.
And it's kind of crazy. And then the other thing is, when you think about it, right, I remember that when he took over for Drew Bledsoe there, the only guy that really thought he was any good was Bill Belichick. Like, the rest of the fan base and everybody else involved in the Patriots are like, this guy was a pick in the sixth round, and for some reason, Bill Belichick likes him. It reminds me of Bill Parcells and Tony Romo, because nobody thought Romo could play either.
You're right. That's a very good point. And you know what's funny? As a Michigan fan, I remember, and I was part of the lynch mob, Tom Brady was the MVP of the Orange Bowl, beat Alabama. Michigan were 11-2. We were like, yeah, thanks for coming, Tom. That's real good. But we got Drew Henson here, all right? And we got to get, you know, we love you, Tommy, but good luck with everything. But we got, you know, hey, we got to go with Drew here. And I had Tom Brady Sr. on the show last year, and he actually snidely said, they're both bitter men, these guys. That's what drives them. He said, yeah, where's Drew Henson now? Think about how spiteful you have to be to say that, to be Tom Brady's father right now, saying that last year. Whereas Tom, because I brought it up. I said, yeah, I'm a Michigan fan, and we actually pushed Tom out the door for Drew Henson. He goes, yeah, we remember.
I'll tell you what, Tom Brady's dad tells it like it is.
He does.
Tom Brady's dad said that he would never, ever finish his career as a New England Patriot because Bill Belichick is going to get rid of everybody before they're done, and Tom's not going to be a guy that's going to give up, so he's not going to finish his career.
And I always thought it would be a perfect fit. Brady grew up a Montana fan. He grew up a Niner fan. That it would be a perfect way to end the career in San Francisco. And I asked Tom Sr. that, and he goes, yeah, that used to be the dream until they passed on us for six rounds. He said, he goes, he'll never play for the 49ers. Like, they're just the chip on his shoulder family, man. So let me ask you. So Tom Brady's the MVP, MVP favorite, all right? He's tied with Joe Montana with four. It's minus 150. Let me ask you, you're a Patriot fan and a fantasy guy, and I want to bring up the DraftKings Super Bowl stuff too. Besides Tom Brady, who could win the MVP on the Patriots?
The only other one that could win it besides a fluke defensive player, if it was a low-scoring game, the only other person that could win it is Deion Lewis. If they were able to run the ball in twice, and they got two touchdowns in a low-scoring game, that's the only other one. The quarterbacks just dominate the award. So that is the only hope that outside of a New England
Deion
defensive
Lewis,
player.
Deion Lewis. It's funny because I thought the same thing. We're talking about the Eagles' perspective, and Nick Foles is 6-1 plus 600. I said, yeah, but if the Patriots win, it's going to be Tom Brady. If the Eagles win, they're going to win because their defense plays well. And I just threw it out there, 33-1, LeGarrette Blount. Smash mouth game. LeGarrette Blount scores two touchdowns. You know, he punches in a couple of touchdowns, rushes for 92 yards, and the Eagles win a defensive battle. And LeGarrette Blount gets in. So, Tony, DraftKings, interesting format, isn't it? The single game. So, four players, offensive guys, two defensive guys, $50,000 salary cap. And I tried to play it blindly for the first time the other day. I'm like, get $50,000. And then I'm like, what the hell? $15,000 for the quarterback. Like, you know, the math is very different, Tony. You know, we got a couple of minutes. What's your take on this, and what's your advice on this?
So I've only done it 2 weeks, and I cashed the first week I did it. The first week I did it, I went with balanced four players offensively, and I didn't play a quarterback. So basically, I went the route.
Interesting. Because you just have to play four offensive guys. No one says you have to play any position, right?
Right, you can play any position. You can go two quarterbacks, and I think that's where a majority of the people go, is they go two quarterbacks and they try to hit on the other one. So I said, you know what, if I get some running touchdowns here, I'll exclude the cornerbacks and go with a balanced entry. And that worked for me. That was the Carolina New Orleans game, I believe it was. That's how I went that route, and it worked out for me that week. Then I went two quarterbacks. And you have to get four or five touchdown passes to win that way, because you're paying $30,000 out of your $50,000 salary for two players at the quarterback position. Now, defense, there's going to be no standout linebacker, one guy that's going to make a ton of plays here. There's no Mike Singletary running around. So I wouldn't pay up for the big linebackers. And what I would do is I would actually try to take a couple defensive backs and try to get an interception.
Pray for a pick.
In one of these games. Yeah, and pray for a pick.
You know what I did, and I'll let people in on a little secret because you're watching the Fantasy Sports Network, but for the defensive guys, if you're wondering, even, well, how am I going to get the stats and, you know, really, how many tackles? You know what I did, Tony? I went to the sports books, baby, and I looked, special defensive props. Boom. And I looked by the odds. All right. You know, like Van Noy. Van Noy's the tackle guy. Right. Yep. So, you know, you can figure it out. You can balance. You got to use both all the tools at your disposal.
Absolutely.
So you're looking, all right, this is what the odds makers are saying, who they think are going to have the most tackles and they think are going to have an impact on a game from a defensive standpoint. And they know what they're doing. They're not just setting these numbers for nothing. All right. Unfortunately, we got to get out of here. Cardano better be good because we're running you, Tony. He's coming up next.
Oh, Mike got out of the boss is up next.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's like he used to be in the rotation. He joins us like once every 2 months. He's big time now.
Take care, and I'm looking forward to Patriots-Eagles talk. You know, those Philadelphia fans always keep us talking.
Get your pick and a DraftKings lineup ready for next week.
We're ready, baby.
Tony Cincata, check him out all day long on a Fantasy Sports Television and Radio Networks. Mike Cardano joins us next. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. You know what else continues? The countdown to Super Bowl 52. I want to get Mike's take on this, actually. Mike, I'm sickened by this Super Bowl. You know, as a Buffalo Bill fan, I've had enough of the New England Patriots. You're a New York Jet fan, so you've had enough of the New England Patriots. New York Giant fans hate the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, the city of New York and the state of New York, this Super Bowl sucks. And they hate Boston. Like, it can't get worse.
I'm in mourning today. Today's the 35-year anniversary of the Mud Bowl with A.J. Dewey intercepting Richard Todd three times.
Richard Todd.
Yeah. I would have had my Super Bowl there, but then that was a strike-shortened year. But
Richard Todd, that's the memory. You know what? That's sort of the memory of me as a kid. Like, he was the Jet quarterback, you know? Joe Ferguson, Bills, Richard Todd. And who's the guy, the I can't believe I'm dropping his name now, the Colts guy that used to do the shampoo commercials?
Burt Jones. So you know what? The Patriots, they, no matter what you have to say about them, though, even on their defense, when they stink all game, they give up yards all over the place, they play amazing situational football. I know we talked about it a little yesterday. Yep. They, when it counts, They give you yards, but you just can't get in the end zone or get that last field goal. When was the last time that anybody saw, even in the regular season, a team drive for the game-winning score on the Patriots? They've lost games, but nobody's actually, you know, played situational football to beat them. The only thing I can remember is when Belichick goofed and he tried to go for it against Peyton Manning on that fourth
the Colts,
down.
Yeah.
But that wasn't even somebody coming back against them.
You know what's crazy? What I mean? Well, actually, the Seahawks would have if they didn't screw it up.
Yes, speaking but they intercepted the ball.
I know, and speaking of goofing, remember Belichick didn't use his timeouts. He had a bunch of timeouts. He's letting the clock go. It's like he knew. No, don't worry, Wolf, but we'll intercept it.
That would have been the only one, really.
Yeah. You know? Let me ask you so with the Patriots, their greatness. Listen, Tom Brady, 15% of all Super Bowls. Bill Belichick. I said this with Cam on the radio show the other day. I'm not even kidding. They're not going to take the Vince Lombardi trophy away, but – you're going to have to come up with something with Bill Belichick. He's won, you know, more than Vince Lombardi. Like,
well, think about this. And if you're a Patriots fan in general, if you're a little older, they've actually been to the Super Bowl 10 times, and it's 19% of all the Super Bowls.
Very good point.
The only thing that's better than that, really, is if you think about it, if I do some of my mic math here, there've been 113 World Series. The Yankees have won 27, but they've appeared in 40 of them, Gabe. They've appeared in 35% of all the World Series in
That's
the history
insane.
Of the World Series.
Baseball a little different just because, you know, not all the teams
team
are good.
35% of the time. That's
I know.
Nuts.
And you know what? When I'm thinking of the Patriots off the top of my head, I'm like, what can you compare this to? I sort of thought of Derek Jeter's Yankees and those Yankee teams, but even they didn't make it this much. You're not the biggest hockey guy, but a real dominant team, Mike, was the Montreal Canadiens of the 70s.
Yeah. It was the Yankees and then the Canadiens.
Six
in terms
championships.
Of
but you know what's crazy? 6-0. 6-0 in championships. So let me ask you. So Tom Brady is 5-2 in Super Bowls. Is that more impressive, or are we underselling Terry Bradshaw being 4-0? It's sort of like LeBron. LeBron's racking up championships, but he also loses them too all the time, right? You know, is it more impressive, like a Troy Aikman 3-0, a Terry Bradshaw 4-0, Joe Montana 4-0?
I don't know that Bradshaw did as much to he had those unbelievable
defenses. That's
true.
Yeah, the Pats don't have a bunch of stars. There was a million stars on. You're right.
He's actually won some of these things single-handedly. Some of them. He didn't win the first one.
Yeah, like Lynn Swan and John Stallworth are better than Amendola and Hogan.
Yeah, you know, I'm still with the first one against
the Rams
for Brady against the Panthers. I'm still pissed that Casey kicking the ball out of bounds. Nobody ever talks about that.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was the second one. That was Nipplegate.
Well, wasn't that the first one for Brady, though?
No, the first one for Brady is when they secretly videotaped and cheated and beat the Rams 20-17.
That was first? I didn't
know. That was the first one. Vinatieri hit the kick. It was crazy. Vinatieri doesn't hit that kick. It doesn't go in overtime. And the whole tuck rule was invented that year with the Raiders. Ugh. All right.
Well, how do you find it more impressive? Do you find the Bills going four times in a row as in more of an impressive feat than somebody getting there once and winning?
Yes and no. I mean, the resiliency of being able to win the conference championship 4 years in a row shouldn't be undersold. But no, I mean, you trade it all, right? You trade the four losses for the one. So speaking of Joe Montana, Nick Foles completed 75% of his passes in both playoff games. Only other quarterback in history to do that, Joe Montana. And we were talking about, Tom Brady, we talked about this with Sincata. Tom Brady taking 508th overall. Kevin Malone, the general manager of the Expos, actually did an interview last year, said that he thinks that Brady could have been one of the best catchers ever. They liked him that much. But that Brady's love was football. But let's look at Nick Foles a little bit. I didn't realize this. Nick Foles averaged 15 points and 11 rebounds a game at Westlake High School in Austin, Texas, and received numerous scholarships from Division I programs to be a basketball player.
Well, listen, I don't know why everybody's shitting over Nick Foles all the time. He had a fantastic year when he was with the Eagles the first time around, right? He was a Pro Bowl player. He set all kinds of records in terms of efficiency. Everybody said, oh, yeah, it was the system.
27 touchdowns and two interceptions.
The ball was in his hands, and he distributed it, and it worked. I mean, a lot of time teams would die in this environment to have Nick Foles as their quarterback. As a Jets fan, I would give my left arm to have Nick Foles as a quarterback just compared to what we got. So, you know, they compare him to the Tom Brady's of the world, but there just aren't that many of those people in the NFL.
You know, a lot of people are expecting Nick Foles. I've said Tom Brady so many times in the last – how many words have I said Tom Brady today? 92? Tom Brady. But, yeah, you're right. With Nick Foles, he's going to this. He's not a kid either. He's 30 years old. Like – that's the thing with the Eagles. They're not a kid team. Alshon Jeffrey's been around, man. Fletcher Cox has been around. Nick Foles has been around. Alshon Jeffrey's has been around. I mean, Nelson Aguilar, Jay Ajayi, these guys are in their third, fourth years. But we're talking about a veteran football team. They're not kids, the Eagles. They're going to be overwhelmed by the moment.
Hey, Gabe, I got a little secret for you. So this past weekend, I went totally against the grain. In my DraftKings lineup, I went for it with a Nick Foles stacked lineup.
You killed
lineup.
It. You must have made
money. Well, listen to this. I won the tournament. Now, I had to split it with two other guys. It was a $10,000 tournament. I won. I took down like $3,500, $3,300.
Meany won $500.
Nobody wanted to use him, but you know what I mean? It is what it is. I just think people are always guys that aren't the elite quarterbacks, but they can do it enough to get it done. He has a team around him. He doesn't necessarily have to do everything.
And like you said, the fact of the matter is, out of the 32 quarterbacks, you have four or five elite quarterbacks, if that. And then there's everyone else.
I'm sorry, but he gets a starting job in the NFL. He should have one.
Well, so let me ask you. So after what he's done right now, if he wins the Super Bowl, does he get a big $25 million a year deal from a team to become a starting quarterback? He almost has
to,
right?
No, I don't think he gets that kind of money, but I think he gets a starting gig somewhere.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. What is he? Jeff Hostetler, for the record, the only backup ever to win a Super Bowl before Jeff Hostetler. He got some money for the Raiders after. You know Bruce Smith too. You've asked him about that. I don't know how Hostetler never dropped
that ball. I still
don't
know how he held on to that ball.
Still pisses
Hostetler
me off.
Hostetler in the end zone. I asked Smith. Smith doesn't. He doesn't know.
That would have been. It would have turned the game. It was right before the half. A touchdown instead of a safety would have meant all the difference in the world. What was your first Super Bowl? I threw this out there. My first Super Bowl I remember watching was 1978. Orange Crush, Denver Broncos, Dallas Cowboys. Like, that's the one. I remember it. I remember what happened, and I've seen every Super Bowl since then. That's my first. Which is your first?
I have two. One that I remember vividly, and one that I remember that I watched it, and I remember one play. The first one that I remember, and now I'm a few years older than you. I remember Super Bowl VII, January 17th, 1973. I remember Gary Permian's blocked field goal and them losing 14-7. That was their only score. Dolphins beat the Redskins.
So you saw the perfect season complete, yeah.
But, well, I remember that one play from the game. That's all I remember. I remember that. And maybe some of my memory is from seeing it also on video so many times. But I do remember that I, you know, with my dad and watching that. But Super Bowl IX, January 12, 1975, with the Steelers beating the Cowboys 21-17. That was my first. I sat down with my dad. We, you know, had a whole food and beverage thing. Yeah. We sat and watched the game, and that's the first one.
It's funny
me.
How we remember those, eh? There's childhood memories, so we got to get out of here. But I remember I played hockey as a youth, and I had a game that Sunday evening, and my grandfather was pissed off even. I remember him, like, speeding. He never drove fast. He was speeding home after my hockey game to get back. And, you know, incidentally, that game in 1978 was the first time they played the Super Bowl at 6:30. They used to be earlier in the day. That's the we got all kinds of Super Bowl facts coming up over the next couple of weeks. Thanks, Mike. We got to get out of here.
All right. Take care.
Mike Cardano is going to come back with our plays of the day next. What up, everybody? I'm Gabriel Morenci. Let's get to my best bets of the day. Although, can you use the word best bet when we're talking about the Sacramento Queens? Kings. Sacramento, man, they're getting 6.5, 7. I'll buy a half point if I have to, but point blank, listen, the Orlando Magic are 1-10 against the spread. The last 11 times they've been favored by more than 2 points, all right? And, oh, yeah, the Magic haven't won back-to-back games since November the 10th. So proceed with caution if you like Orlando in this spot. I'm going to play the numbers. Kings and Magic, both these teams have been big under plays. Sacramento can't score, man. They're averaging like 97 points a game. Should be a lower scoring game, and I always take overs, but I'll take the under 213 here. Why are the Cleveland Cavaliers favored? Really? Why? At San Antonio? Give me the San Antonio Spurs. Let's go over the number with Cleveland and San Antonio. We got the Celtics and the Lakers. I'm tempted by the Celtics, but I don't want to lay 5. The Lakers have actually been competitive on their home floor. I do like the over. I think this game goes over 209. College basketball, Georgia gets back on track tonight. We'll lay minus 125 on the money line. Providence and Villanova. Villanova just massacre teams. You could probably win if you lay the points, but I think the game's going to go over 152. And speaking of how the hell do you not take it, Colorado Avalanche last night, they won their 10th in a row. They were plus 150. Now the Montreal Canadiens are favored. The Canadiens are favored? Really? Give me the Colorado Avalanche. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.